So hello and welcome back to another episode of Off the Rails, the Millennials podcast where we go off on tangents, talking all things music, books and what we're obsessed with week to week. So Off the Rails is part of the Off the Record Network. I'm your co-host Madeline and today with me is my co-host Imogen. How are you feeling today?
Fragile. Very fragile. Brunch. I am not quite acclimatised to brunch yet. And the brunch weekend, and now I've definitely got a taste of the Sunday scaries. But from tomorrow we can hug people, so life is good. How's your week been?
My week has been preparing for the fact that from Monday 17th we don't have to wear face masks in my place of work anymore. So I
really that's so exciting.
I've gone out this week and bought so much makeup because for the past 5 months I haven't worn any makeup.
That's actually game changing.
Yeah, and so I've gone out and I bought some makeup, which feels weird because obviously you still can't test out makeup or anything on your hands or compare it to your skin. So I'm just sitting there going, I'm hoping I'm the same color as I was when I came back from Turkey last August. Probably not.
That is funny. Oh, it's going to be so nice just to be able to, like, eat indoors and just chill and just, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm so happy to finally eat a meal inside a pub that I don't have to try and...
I know, it has got tiring. It has got tiring having to eat outside. Like, yesterday, it didn't matter in the end, but having brunch outside and having, like, a little bit of English rain... I was like, I could really do with being inside. And you can just see it, because obviously... you're just like sheltering outside, but you can like see inside and you're like, oh, would it really make any difference? I just go inside.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just can't wait to actually be indoors. And because the weather, like this bad, the weather has been awful. So I've sit there and I'm like, you know what? I'm not that desperate to get drunk on gin and lemonade in the rain.
So it does make the rain more bearable.
I'll just do it from the comfort of my house. But yeah, it's I don't know, it feels, I'm quite happy about it. I think starting to go back to normal, but at the same time I'm quite used to the routine.
Yeah, sure. I don't know about you, but like it's been kind of a strange transition back. It feels kind of funny to be going back to normal life again in a weird way.
Yeah, it feels quite odd. Like obviously I went food shopping today and I had to wear a mask, and I know that it's going to come to a point where in a few months time we're probably not going to have to wear masks in shops anymore.
No.
And I don't know, like, I'm happy that like the vaccine has been sorted so quickly, and that everyone is getting their first and second doses now, but at the same time, because it's happened so quick,
it almost feels like we're not prepared for it. It's a weird one because obviously you're super grateful, but it is, we've got used to living inside now, and it's kind of almost like not an anxiety, but kind of like a, oh, we're going to have to transition back.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I think, do I want to transition back to the same person I was before lockdown? There are some things that I have during lockdown that I kind of want to keep, like read a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I am worried that my reading, you know, quid is going to be going down. Like, I am on track for my 100 books of the year. So that might all go to pot soon.
Yeah, but I would say, if anything, when lockdown is, like, finally lifted and it's just, like, memory, I think it's going to be very weird. I don't know, guys. I don't want to go back to the person I was before lockdown, because before lockdown I was just so work-heavy. And throughout lockdown, obviously, because everyone's been working from home, I've had so much time to catch up with people over Zoom. So I know I'm definitely going to try and be more of like a social butterfly when lockdown's finished. And go traveling a bit more. Before lockdown, I was one of those people that only went on like one annual like family holiday. Whereas now I'm like, you know what? If I want to go to Paris for the weekend, I will go by myself.
You did it. Yeah, I support that. Well, I guess that kind of brings us into the topic of this week, which is we wanted to do kind of as we transition back into kind of travel and I guess being able to travel again, talking through sort of a bit of inspiration for the countries that are on the green list at the moment. Obviously that will change, but just kind of focusing on that and talking a bit about books we've read that kind of we loved around those countries and that kind of thing. So where do we want to start?
I would say let's go around the globe, but my geography is not good, so I probably won't do this in the right order. Let's start with what I'm assuming is the closest on our list, and I really want to say Portugal is the closest, maybe.
I think Iceland's the closest.
Yeah.
Is Iceland closer?
You can tell why I didn't take geography as an option.
I think Iceland's marginally closer. It's difficult because quite often, did you know apparently that the globe was actually, the way things are drawn quite often isn't actually to scale because they had to like fit it in and make it look pretty.
Oh, see, I know that on, not on globes, but I know on world maps that whatever country you're in, they will always put themselves in the centre.
Yeah.
So if you go to America, they're in the middle of the map, whereas when we look at our maps, we're in the middle.
That's so weird. I never even thought about that.
It's very weird when you see Australians one, because obviously Australia, and then most of the right side is just ocean.
Oh my God. They
always put themselves in the centre.
I mean, it makes sense. We're not the centre of the universe, but it's kind of interesting. Well, if we talk about a little bit about Iceland first. So, I don't know. Have you been to Iceland?
Honey, I have been nowhere.
Well, I will do a little intro to Iceland because I went there probably about 10 years ago now, which is quite a while ago. It's honestly, if you get the chance to go, the most amazing country. Like, the landscape of it is just, it's incredible. It's just one of those things that I don't think you can get anywhere else. It's just like geographical beauty and amazingness, and just you're just like awestruck by just nature generally. So I guess you've got to do the Blue Lagoon. You've got to go and spend some time in that spa. Definitely would recommend Gullfoss Falls as well, and then Thingvellir, just as some little place to go. I also had the world's largest slice of chocolate cake somewhere in Iceland. Don't know where it was. It was probably the size of a small shoe.
Oh.
It was huge.
I think I might just go there just for some chocolate cake.
So have you read much, many books about Iceland?
I haven't read many books about Iceland. I think I've listened to some Icelandic?
Yeah.
Singers. Books-wise, not so much. Have you got any books that you can recommend?
So the one I would recommend is probably Burial Rites by Hannah Kent. It's a really gritty kind of like very different thriller just based on like the kind of the setting, I guess. I really enjoyed that one. So that one's one to read. And then Eurovision, obviously you've got to watch Eurovision, which came out last year.
What, the film or the actual series?
No, the actual film.
The film sounds good, because I know like the actual TV show, they absolutely hate the UK in Eurovision, I think, since Brexit.
Oh, yeah, they hate us.
They hate us. But the film, I know what I'm going to be watching this weekend. Oh, so
and then finally, I guess music-wise, you've got to listen to Bjork and Of Monsters and Men if you want to get up to speed with her. So probably two of the most famous Icelandic artists.
Absolutely adore Bjork as a singer. But as like whenever she's on TV for an interview, the stuff that she comes out with, I don't know if it's like a language barrier thing or if it's just her being very, very quirky, but the things that she comes out with and her fashion sense as well. I remember at one of, I want to say it was Met Gala or one of those big fashion shows, where she's the one who wore that swan dress. That was her, which I remember.
That's interesting.
Which I remember them taking the mic out of in like an episode of Hannah Montana, and then it wasn't until like a year ago I actually understood the reference. And I was like, oh my God, that was Bjorky one who wore the
That's swim. Interesting. I didn't make that connection at all.
I didn't. At all. But I do like monsters
in it. Well. I mean, if you get the chance, I think Iceland is an amazing country, so I would highly recommend. Yeah, so going down the list then, I guess, should we do Portugal and Gibraltar very quickly? Because I don't think there was that, we haven't read that much Portuguese literature or books based there. So I would highly please get in touch with us and recommend us some books based in Portugal or Gibraltar, because we'd love to kind of expand our knowledge. I've never been to Gibraltar, but Portugal, definitely. Obviously, you've got to go to Lisbon and you've got to sample the pastéis de nata, because they are delicious. And there's just amazing places in Portugal, particularly along the coast. Porto is amazing. And yeah, it's just, I think actually Portugal is one of those places where it's a place to get away from the kind of thoroughfare of the tourist traps, and there's some amazing places with incredible food all along the coast, and don't potentially go to some of the bigger towns because there's a lot of hidden gems. Should we talk about Australia? Because I feel like Australia is a lot more to talk about.
Yes, Australia. I actually have quite a story with Australia. So I've never been. But one of my friends who I went to secondary school with, his name's Ashley, he's one of these people that during lockdown, he's in Australia in March, got stuck out there in March because of COVID. And his life, I feel like he's the only person that can, like, hand on heart say, COVID changed my life. Because he's got out there, he's got stuck out there. Australia, the embassy were very, very quick to be like, look, you're stuck out here, that's fine, we'll get you a working visa, that's fine. He's got like an amazing job in construction. He's only 24 and he's now bought a house in Australia. He now has an Australian girlfriend. His Instagram feed is just full to the brim of him being out in clubs and raves and going on like boat parties. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait for you to catch me and come back to Essex. Yeah, thanks.
Oh my god.
And I just feel like what a story to come out of lockdown of.
Yeah, like what a story and what a time.
Like, can you imagine, like, when kids ask me about lockdown, I'm gonna be like, I don't want to go there. It's a terrible time, I don't want to go there. Yeah. And like with his kids, he's gonna be like, yeah, that's basically how I met your mum, and that's why you're now Australian.
that's a mad story. It's kind of incredible. In terms of books and literature, what have you read that's based out in Australia? Or what could whet your appetite, I guess, for going to Australia?
So I've got two. So now my library's back over my local library. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And I'm ordering this. So the first one I've read this week is called The Thornbirds by Colleen McCullough?
It's probably like Colour or something, isn't it?
McCullough. And it's kind of like a romantic book, which I don't really normally go towards.
Mm.
But I'd say romantic in the way that Little Women is kind of like...
Okay.
Romance. It's kind of set in that same time, and it's based around the Cleary's family and their seven children. And it's quite, I know, it's quite romantic, this book, and like quite sweet and quite innocent. But then, mm-hmm. like within that, the first 50 pages, it just seems like a lot of the characters can't really catch a break. So in one of in the first 50 pages, one of the daughters of the seven children, she gets like this really lovely doll as a present, and then the doll gets smashed. A few days after that, she goes to school. Like, she's finally old enough to go to school, and she's up to loving school. And then she gets beaten at school every day. And then she finally makes a friend at school, and then she gets nits, and then her friend's like, I'm never coming near you again. Because obviously, like, head lice treatment doesn't exist by that point. And then for her birthday, she wants this really, really expensive like, blue tea set. The family then get into debt over this blue tea set. And then by the time they get into debt, she's like, this doesn't bring me joy anymore. Like, this isn't and after that, she's then old enough to go to church. Like, she's always wanted to go to. She's meeting new friends at church. And then she goes to church and she's like, this is so boring and I don't think I'm actually spiritual anymore. And her parents are quite mean to her to the point where she latches onto her brother, and then the brother goes off to war and dies. And that all happens in the first 50 pages.
Stop.
And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, okay, her doll's been ruined, she's getting beat at school, but you know, like, there's gotta be silver lining somewhere. No, boom, brother dies, debt. Yeah, it's nice. I've never seen a book move so fast in all of my book days.
That's actually so much to be taken, just you saying that, like, wow.
Yeah.
No words, really.
Just gotta let that sink in. Have you got any like, maybe on a happier note kind of books?
I mean, Leanne Moriarty is one that, obviously, she's an Australian-based writer. And Big Little Lies is one that everyone will know. Everyone will probably think that it's based in America. It's not. It's based in Australia. I don't know why they decided to base it out in America, because personally, I think it would have been really cool to see it based out in Australia. But there you go. So that is one that I love. I just think Big Little Lies, just read the book, because the book's even better. And The Light Between Oceans is a beautiful book. You probably might have seen the film, which has got Alicia Vikander in it. But it's a stunning story, really, about like a couple who he runs a lighthouse, and just kind of their life in isolation. And they find this baby. And it's kind of just about like the decision to keep it. And kind of grow up, and the kind of things that happen afterwards about this big decision, I guess. It's heartbreaking. I cried so much during it, but I'm not going to spoil it, because it's just one that everyone needs to read. So that's one of mine. Have you got any other recommendations?
I've got one more. So it's a memoir. It's called Tretz. Some people might recognize it because it was a film back in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So the full title of the film is Tretz, a woman's solo trek across 17,000 miles of Australia outback, by Robin Davidson. And so it's basically this woman who, she goes on like this journey of grief where her mother's just died. So she goes on this 1,700 mile trek across the deserts of West Australia with four camels and her dog, you know, as you do, because everyone has access to four camels. And literally everyone who she comes into contact with is like, you're crazy to do this. I mean, not just because it's like four camels and a dog and you're by yourself, but like the outbacks aren't safe for women. You're not going to be able to get a steady job as you're traveling to help support yourself. It's an amazing book. She's actually a National Geographic photographer. And so she captures these wonderful photos on her journey. It's kind of similar to Cheryl Strayed's memoir called Wild, where Cheryl goes on a hiking trip across the Pacific Crest Trail. But the reason why I say it's similar, obviously, because they're set in different places, is because both of the women say that what fueled them to go on this journey was because they both lost their mothers. And it's kind of them working through the grief. And it's very interesting to when Robin talks about life in the outbacks, about how unsafe it is for women. Like, her worries aren't of like dying of like natural causes. Her worries are dying from like men, and how women are treated in the outbacks, and which I never thought of.
No,
because I don't really hear, not even not much. I don't hear any of those kind of news stories in Britain about any outback stories in Australia. So it's quite eye-opening, but yeah, I really enjoyed it, and the film's amazing as well, called Tretz.
Oh, I'll definitely just give both those a watch. They like sound fascinating, so I will definitely add those to my list.
Have you got anything else you've enjoyed that's come out of Australia?
I mean, Kylie, obviously. what else would I like? So Finding Nemo. Another great film, let's be real. I'm trying to think of something else.
Is Keith Urban? I can't think of
anything. Keith Urban, Morgan Evans.
So Keith Urban, Morgan Evans. I do like Keith Urban, like, he's an amazing guitarist.
Okay, so should we go into Singapore? Because that's also on the list.
Yes, so
I'll let you go first with this one.
So one of the other books I read this week was called How We Disappeared by Jinjin Lee. It's very similar to structure wise if anyone has ever read All the Light We Cannot See, where you've got chapters split and then there's these two characters who at the beginning show no relation to each other. They don't have any connections, but somehow throughout the book they're their pathways tend to now intertwine and you kind of start to see the connection between them. So it kind of flicks back and forth between modern time Singapore, but at the time of the book being released, modern time Singapore is like early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then it flicks back to 1942 of the Japanese invasion in Singapore. In the 1942 chapters, it concerns itself with this character called Wong Di, and she is a young woman who's referred to as like a comfort woman. So there's this term of comfort woman that's always brought up throughout the whole entire book, and essentially this really delicate masking term for women who are sexually abused and enslaved during the invasion. So she's what's called a comfort woman, where she's chained up, she's in a room, and she's kind of at the Japanese's disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Disposal. And then it flicks to present time, where you've got this child called Kevin, who's getting bullied, he's having a really difficult time, and you're kind of thinking, okay, well, they're both going through struggles, but how on earth does this connect? It's very different extremes. They're in such different time spans, and then as you get to in the book, there's Kevin, who is really struggling with bullying, but he has this promise that he has to fulfill of his family on like his grandmother's deathbed, and you start to see that tools in the book, the relation between these two characters. But I felt interesting because obviously whenever I've learned about war, especially in school, it was mostly British wars or World War II or Vietnam War. I've never really heard of the 1942 Japanese invasion. So it prompted me to do a bit more research on history, which I found interesting. Because again, it's something that I just didn't know was a thing. It was never taught. It was never, obviously not discussed on the news because it wasn't in my time. But it was a really enjoyable book based in a place where I don't really tend to read a lot of books based in Singapore. What kind of books have you read that are based in Singapore?
So the only really one that really brings to mind for me is Crazy Rich Asians, which obviously everyone will know my love affair with Crazy Rich Asians. I think it's the best thing ever. And it's so decadent. It's definitely not the like archetypal view of Singapore or not everyone's normal life, but it is just a lovely read to kind of get you excited. And obviously that film has made everyone want to go to Singapore, let us face it, and like try the food and kind of like live that life. So that's probably my favorite recommendation about Singapore. Again, another area that I really want to dive into, so if anyone has any recommendations, do let us know. I think the final one on our list is New Zealand.
Yes.
Which was my favourite country I've ever travelled to. I've only travelled to North Island, but if anyone hasn't been, it's amazing. It's such a cool country. It's very much like Iceland in terms of the geographical beauty. There's so much to see. I would honestly go back in a heartbeat. The Glowworm Caves in Waitomo, Hobbiton, you know, all the wine country around like Wellington area. It's just incredible, and definitely a very vast and very scenically very different country, but I loved that. So I mean, obviously you've got to read Lord of the Rings. It's not based the book's not based there, but obviously it was filmed, a lot of it was filmed out there. That's top of my recommendations. And then The Luminaries, which is the only book that I could really find that was that kept coming up when I was researching New Zealand authors. So you don't recommend that one though.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Luminaries. Luminaries TV series, yes. Luminaries, as I think when we spoke about Luminaries in our overrated books, we said that it would work wonderfully as a graphic novel because there are just too many characters to keep track of. So Luminaries is a TV series and potential graphic novel, yes. As a novel that's the size of the Bible and its sequel, no.
Okay, well, I think that's kind of... have you got any other recommendations which you'd add to the Greenest Countries, or is that kind of a wrap-up?
Well, when I've looked at Greenest Country, because obviously there's like South Georgia and Sandwich Islands, there isn't, because those countries are so small, the amount of authors that come out of them and the stories that come out of them are also very limited and small. Yeah. I'd love to read a book that's based there. But even the population is like, yeah, we haven't got the population here to do that.
Yeah. Well, I guess if anyone's got any more recommendations, we realise that this is not a comprehensive look. It was just kind of a taster of what we're getting excited for reading-wise and why we would love to go visit those countries. So let us know. Madeline, in terms of what you've been enjoying this week, what have you been reading and watching all the rest of it this week?
Oh, so I watched the Brit Awards this week.
Oh my God, it was amazing, wasn't it?
And I like the concept of, obviously, it was still socially distanced for all the singers and the stars and producers and all the guests that came. But the audience was all made up of NHS and key workers, which I really like to see. Obviously, Haim won quite a few awards. Little Mix won Best Group. It's the first time a girl group won.
Yeah.
And I did like
how... Mad when you see mad. You look at the Spice Girls and all the rest of things we've come out of the UK. It's crazy.
Exactly. And I do like Jack Whitehall as the host. I know that I did like Anton Deck before, but I do like Jack Whitehall because he's very, very, he's quite good at being cheeky.
Yeah, he is. And he makes fun of himself, which I enjoy.
Because I know that at one point where he goes up to Little Mix, he's like, I'm not even going to bother asking you what you've been up to during lockdown because two of you are pregnant. And they're like, you said it, not me. Obviously, Taylor Swift won Global Icon, which I was so happy to see. Harry Styles picked up some awards as well. Rag and Bone Man performed with the Greenwich NHS Choir.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. We had that pink filmed in the background, so she obviously couldn't attend, but she done like a little like filmed part. And the British memes that all came out of it, like they had he done the TikTok sea shanties singing with Jack Whitehall and like doing like a brief catch up on like Welcome to the Brits. And obviously you had Jude Lieber's speech about how yes, it's great that we're clapping for the NHS, but they deserve a raise. And I'm like, yes, Jude Lieber. And I liked how extremely British her performance was, of her being in like a green jack dress, pretending to be going through the tube on stage. But it felt a bit odd because obviously the Brits are normally in like February time.
Yeah.
And I just assumed this year they weren't on, and it's only when I turned on the TV, I was like, oh, the Brits are on. Oh. So I've been watching that this week. And then I've also been watching Netflix, Things Heard and Seen.
What did you think of it?
I like the new take on like a paranormal spirit film, because when it started to get paranormal, when you see like these ghosts and like the chair rocking, I'm like, oh, here we go again. It's not a possessed house. But it's kind of the outlook of, no, you're paired with that spirit for a reason.
Yeah.
There's like an equivalent of you in the spiritual world. And I was like, I like that concept.
Yeah, I did like that.
What did you think of it? Have you had a chance?
I liked it up until the end. Like, I liked the suspense and the way it built, but then I was underwhelmed, very, very underwhelmed by the actual release of it. So, yeah.
What else have you been catching up with this week?
I have been still reading The Bold Type. I'm watching The Bold Type, which obviously, as everyone knows, I'm obsessed with. I've been listening to The Dropout on my walks, which I really like. I'm really enjoying that. And then I loved Hamnet. I finished reading that, and it was worth the hype. Like, there are some books which I'm scared, always scared, that aren't going to be worth the hype. This certainly was. And obviously, Conversations on Love. I keep going back to that book. I can't get enough of it. I thought it was wonderful. And then I read Holding Her Breath, which is coming out next month by Amy R. Ryan. And again, I really think this is a great summer beach read. It's probably not the most like highbrow. It's not going to like change your life or anything like that. But it definitely was a speedy, quick read if you want to kind of boost your reading numbers and kind of, or just have a palate cleanser in between some really heavy novels.
Yeah.
How about you? What have you been else been reading and watching?
I've been watching a bit of Netflix. I've actually had some time. The weather's been rubbish to actually now watch the Netflix. Reading wise, so still at book club, we are doing at my local book club that we're all reading the same author, so we're all reading Zadie Smith.
Yeah.
Last week I was reading Swing Time. This week I'm reading her debut book called White Teeth. And I like her writing style so far, so I'm quite glad that we're all reading different books. Obviously she has so many. I know that some other people in the group are reading NW, like Northwest, where she lives in London. And I can't wait for us to all meet up still virtually,
because
we're not back open for group meetings yet, to meet virtually and discuss, well, my book had this and my book had that and all your books.
And kind of the themes and kind of where she, you can probably get a good idea of where she excels in her writing and things like that.
Exactly. What have you been listening to music-wise this week?
Oh, music-wise, that's a good question. I have been listening to David Gray's Skellig, which is a good background noise. It's very, like, dreamy sonic landscape he creates. But personally, I didn't think it was the best album as an entirety, but it was good in terms of, like, background kind of listening. I really like Alana Springsteen's new track, California. I think it really shows the direction of her music, and she's got such a vision for where she wants her artistry to go, and I love that. And then Alan Jackson's new album kind of surprised me. I really enjoyed that. It's very traditional country in a way that I haven't heard in years. So that's one that I have been loving. What have you been listening to?
Well, so I've got two. So obviously Olivia Rodrigo performed Driver's License at Brit Awards. But she's had obviously Deja Vu come out since then, and now her third single from, she's now released the name of her debut album, which came called Sour. She's now released her third single called Good For You. I have to admit, when I first turned it on, I was like, am I listening to the right thing? This doesn't sound like Olivia Rodrigo. It's very, like, you know, like Ashley Simpson pieces of me. And Avril Lavigne, like Girlfriend kind of era. It's that kind of like rock, like
interesting,
pop, like punk pop rock kind of thing. When she's like good for you, you're moving on with your life while my life is still shit after our breakup. But like, yeah, good for you that like therapy worked out for you, and like the therapist I recommended worked out, yay, good for you. And I was like, oh, the angst of like early like Speak Now era Taylor Swift, Better Than Revenge, which I loved. And then I've also been listening to St. Vincent. So St. Vincent is like this alternative pop artist that I've been listening to ever since she was on the Jules Holland show. Amazing guitarist. She's now released another album called Daddy's Home, but it's more like 70s kind of sounding style. Like before, she's very tech and she's very like guitar based and very like futuristic sounding, whereas this sounds very 70s, which is like a really, really like interesting side to her. So I've been into that on my driving to work each week. But yeah, that's what I've been listening to this week.
And what have you got to look forward to, I guess, this week? Have you got anything that you're going to be particularly trying to get through, I guess?
So I'm going to read the biggest book of my life. It's called The Eighth Life, and I will put my hands up and say it's very much one of these books that I've walked into Waterstones gone, that's an amazing cover. I won't read the blurb because that will just look amazing on my bookshelf. And I thought, no, I have to read it. So it's this book that goes through generations and generations. And I'm looking at it now thinking, if I thought The Luminaries was painful, this is going to kill me. So I'm going to try and, I obviously won't finish it by next episode, but I'm going to try and at least start it.
Yeah, and kind of get a flavour, I guess, where it's going.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and do that. I know that obviously a lot of people are excited for like restaurants opening back up next week, but I've just booked to go to Putt Shack, because obviously Putt Shack was my mini golf, because it's inside, so I'm excited to do that. I have to admit, before lockdown, I used to go there every weekend. I used to go there every weekend at midnight, because it would be a thing of we go to the pub would close at 11 or 12, Putt Shack would still be open, and I cannot win at shots, like a game of shots. I cannot win at beer pong, but I can win at drunk Putt Shack. And even the fact that the prize is nothing, the prize is just pride and like bragging rights.
Yeah, that's all you need.
But I can't wait to go back and just be like, yeah, pff, 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 with my little putt. So I'm very excited to go back. And the fact when I logged into book and it's like returning customer, I was like, yes,
I am a returning customer. Thank you.
So I'm very excited for that.
Oh, you paused.
I'll tune next week.
Oh, is it me or you? I'm going to be reading The Push by Ashley Audrain that I think you've read. Hello. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
So I'm going to be reading The Push by Ashley Audrain, which I think you've read.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got that. And then I probably, to be honest, I don't think it's going to take me too long to read, because I think it's quite a quick-ish read. So then I think I'm going to move on to White Ivy by Susie Yang after that. Yeah, those are the two ones I'm hopefully going to get through this week.
Ooh, very good.
I'm excited. Good. Well, on that note, do you want to let people know where they can find you and all the things?
So people can find my now more active Instagram account.
Love it.
Because now that lockdown is easing up, I'm like, yes, I'm going to show off my new highlights.
Yes,
girl. So people can find me at hey_it's Madeline. Where on your mini platforms can people find you?
They can find me at Imogen L. Marshall on Instagram, or at www.offtherecorduk.com for everything everyone ever needs. So that's been an episode, and tune in next week. We'll speak to you then. Bye, everyone. Cool.